What if you could design a brand new industrial material from scratch, just by telling an AI what you want it to do? This isn't science fiction. This week, we saw generative AI move from drug discovery into advanced materials. For US and European manufacturers, the game is changing faster than you think. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology developments shaping global industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, the biopharmaceutical sector is on fire. We're seeing a multi-billion-dollar bet on AI-driven drug discovery, unprecedented clinical trial results in the obesity market that are shaking up incumbents, and major strategic shifts in global manufacturing.
That's right. Geopolitical pressure is forcing a realignment of the biotech supply chain, creating both threats and opportunities. We're also tracking landmark FDA approvals that are opening entirely new therapeutic markets. The key theme this week is acceleration in discovery, in manufacturing strategy, and in market access.
Let's start with AI. We saw a huge headline, Eli Lilly in a landmark alliance with In Silico Medicine. Troy, what's the big deal here?
The deal is valued at up to $2.75 billion, with a $115 million upfront payment from Lilly. They are licensing In Silico's Pharma.AI platform to design novel small molecule drugs. This is a massive vote of confidence from Big Pharma in AI's ability to not just speed up discovery, but to generate entirely new drug candidates from the ground up.
So instead of screening millions of existing compounds, the AI designs the molecule it needs?
Precisely. It combines generative AI for molecular design with predictive AI for efficacy and toxicity. In Silico already has 12 AI-designed drugs with IND clearance, including one in phase 2 trials. This proves the platform delivers real clinical candidates, not just theoretical models.
But what's fascinating is that In Silico also announced a partnership with Saudi Aramco this week. That's an energy giant, not a drug company.
Exactly. And this is the critical insight for our listeners in manufacturing. They've unveiled the Sanity Pipeline, an AI tool for discovering new metal organic frameworks, or MOFs. These are advanced materials with huge potential in gas storage, separation, and catalysis. The AI uses a reverse design paradigm. Researchers specify the desired material properties, and the AI generates stable, synthesizable MOF structures to achieve them.
So this AI technology is moving beyond biotech and into industrial materials. What does this mean for US and European manufacturers?
It means the competitive landscape for specialty chemicals and advanced materials is about to be disrupted. European chemical giants have relied on deep institutional knowledge and iterative R&D. This AI-driven approach can leapfrog that process. US and European manufacturers must evaluate how generative AI can accelerate their own materials discovery. It's no longer just an IT issue, it's a core R&D and strategic issue.
What's the actionable insight here?
Executives need to look beyond their own labs. The most advanced AI is coming from specialized firms like In Silico. Western manufacturing and chemical companies should be actively seeking partnerships to integrate these generative AI platforms into their R&D pipelines now, or risk being out-innovated in the next 5 years.
Let's shift to the obesity market, which is just explosive. Eli Lilly dropped a bombshell with its new drug, retatrutide.
They did. In his phase 3 TRIUMPH-1 trial, retatrutide showed an average body weight reduction of 30.3% at 104 weeks. That's an average of 85 pounds. These are results that rival bariatric surgery.
30%. That's a stunning number. How does it work?
It's a triple hormone receptor agonist targeting GIP, GLP-1, and glucagon pathways. This multi-pronged mechanism appears to produce a more profound metabolic effect than existing drugs. Lilly's pipeline is firing on all cylinders. In mid-2026, Mounjaro is expected to get an expanded FDA approval for cardiovascular risk reduction. And by late 2026, they expect approval for Foundayo, a daily oral GLP-1.
An oral pill is a huge deal for patients who dislike injections. But having the best drug doesn't guarantee sales. How are they navigating market access?
That's the critical piece. This week, CVS Caremark, one of the largest pharmacy benefit managers in the U.S., announced it's adding Lilly's oral Foundayo to its standard commercial formularies, effective June 1st. It's also reinstating coverage for the injectable Zepbound on October 1st.
So they're getting on the shelf, so to speak. What should our listeners in trading and distribution take away from this?
For trading companies and distributors, this levels the playing field between Eli Lilly and Novo Nordisk. For years, Novo Nordisk often had a preferred position. Now, with Lilly's strong clinical data and secured formulary access, the market is set for intense competition. This means opportunities for logistics partners, specialty pharmacies, and component suppliers, but they must be agile. The volume for these drugs is immense, and the supply chain will be under pressure.
And the actionable insight for executives?
If you are in any part of the pharmaceutical supply chain, from raw material sourcing for injectables and oral solids to cold chain logistics, you need to have a dual sourcing strategy that accommodates both Lilly and Novo Nordisk. PBM decisions like this one from CVS Caremark are the key market signals. Align your capacity and partnerships with the products that have secured broad market access.
Troy, let's talk about manufacturing strategy. We're seeing a lot of movement from China's biggest contract manufacturer, Wuxi Biologics.
Yes, and it's a direct response to geopolitical pressure. Wuxi Biologics is intensifying its sales efforts in South Korea, targeting K-biotech companies. Simultaneously, they just received GMP release for their 18th global facility, a new drug product plant in Shanghai.
Why South Korea specifically?
Because U.S. legislation like the BioSecure Act is creating uncertainty for American biotechs using Chinese contract development and manufacturing organizations, or CDMOs. Wuxi is de-risking by diversifying its customer base. South Korean biotechs like ABL Bio and LigaChem Biosciences are perfect targets. They have innovative pipelines, particularly in complex areas like antibody drug conjugates, but they are often fabless, meaning they lack their own manufacturing facilities.
So as one door potentially closes, another opens. How should Western companies view this shift?
This is a critical signal for U.S. and European manufacturers. It highlights an opportunity to recapture market share. While Wuxi pivots to Asia, Western biotechs are actively seeking non-Chinese partners. This is where European innovation comes into focus. For example, UK-based Oxford Biomedica is a leader in viral vector manufacturing, a key bottleneck for gene therapies. And another UK firm, Ori Biotech, is pioneering automated, decentralized platforms for cell therapy manufacturing.
You've mentioned decentralization before. What's the latest?
The UK has just established clear regulatory pathways for what's called point of care and modular manufacturing for advanced therapies. This is a game changer. It resolves regulatory uncertainty and positions the UK as a leader in creating flexible, localized manufacturing networks, which is the exact opposite of the massive centralized model.
So for a US or European pharma executive, what's the play?
The actionable insight is twofold. First, actively vet and secure capacity with European CDMOs who are leaders in next-generation therapies. Look at firms like Oxford Biomedica or Lonza. Second, for companies developing cell and gene therapies, the UK's regulatory clarity on decentralized manufacturing makes it an ideal location to pilot these new, more resilient supply chain models. This is the moment to onshore or friendshore your advanced manufacturing.
Finally, let's touch on some landmark approvals that are creating entirely new markets.
A major one this week is the FDA's approval of Hepcludex. This is the first ever treatment for chronic hepatitis delta virus, or HDV, the most severe form of viral hepatitis, which affects an estimated 12 million people globally.
The first ever treatment. So this opens up a completely new therapeutic area.
Absolutely. It was approved under the FDA's accelerated approval pathway, highlighting the urgent unmet need. For decades, there was nothing for these patients. Hepcludex, a first-in-class entry inhibitor, showed in its phase 3 trial that 48% of patients achieved a combined response at week 48.
We also saw another big approval in oncology.
Yes, the FDA approved Datopotamab deruxtecan, or Datroway, from Daiichi Sankyo and AstraZeneca. It's a new first-line treatment for a very aggressive form of metastatic breast cancer. It's an antibody-drug conjugate, or ADC, which is like a guided missile that delivers chemotherapy directly to cancer cells. It reduced the risk of progression or death by 43% versus standard chemo.
And in a completely different area, we're seeing a major U.S. institution embrace a controversial class of therapies.
That's right. The U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs has launched a clinical trial for MDMA-assisted mental health therapy. This follows the FDA granting breakthrough therapy designation for MDMA, psilocybin, and LSD for conditions like PTSD and severe depression.
For a body like the VA to launch a trial is a significant signal of mainstream acceptance.
It is. It acknowledges that conventional treatments are failing too many veterans with severe PTSD.
These substances, used in a controlled therapeutic setting, may help patients process trauma in ways that are otherwise inaccessible.
What should Western trading and technology companies be thinking about here?
These approvals and trials create entirely new ecosystems. For Hepcludex, it means new demand for specialized diagnostics to even identify HDV patients. For Datroway, it drives the supply chain for complex ADCs. And for MDMA therapy, it will require a new infrastructure of specialized clinics, trained therapists, and technology for monitoring patients. These are ground floor opportunities in entirely new medical fields.
Okay, Troy, a lot to unpack this week. Let's boil it down. What are the three key takeaways for our listeners?
First, generative AI is no longer a future-looking technology. It is a present-day competitive weapon. The Lilly and Silico deal shows it's driving multi-billion dollar pharma R&D, and the Aramco deal proves it's moving into industrial materials. European and U.S. executives must have an AI partnership strategy on their desk now.
Second,
the GLP-1 obesity market is now a two-front war: pipeline innovation and market access. Eli Lilly's clinical data is phenomenal, but the CVS Caremark deal is what truly levels the field against Novo Nordisk. Any company in the pharma supply chain must watch the PBMs. They are picking the winners.
And the final takeaway?
Third, the biomanufacturing map is being redrawn by geopolitics. As Chinese CDMOs pivot to Asia to mitigate U.S. legislative risk, a strategic window has opened for Western firms. The actionable play is to invest in European CDMO partnerships and leverage new decentralized manufacturing models being pioneered in the UK to build more resilient supply chains.
Acceleration and realignment. That's our focus this week. Troy, thank you.
My pleasure, Susie.
That's all the time we have. For more strategic analysis, be sure to subscribe to Troy Technical Intelligence wherever you get your podcasts. Join us next week for your essential briefing on the technology that drives your business.